Moving on, in the first public testimony about the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, the quartet of top security officials largely deflected blame for the failure to anticipate the violent intentions of the mob.
Well, all four witnesses say they didn't see an FBI threat assessment from the day prior that detailed specific calls for violence at the Capitol, blaming intelligence failures and a sluggish response from the federal government.
We properly planned for a mass demonstration with possible violence. What we got was a military-style coordinated assault on my officers and a violent takeover of the Capitol building. None of the intelligence we received predicted what actually occurred.
Conflicting accounts from key officials, though, as they disagreed on why swift help was not sought from the National Guard help before the insurrection. Mr. Sund testified that he requested the National Guard to be called at 1:09 p.m. on January the 6th. Paul Irving, the former House Sergeant-at-Arms, says that he didn't receive a request until an hour later. And that was when the rioters had just breached the Capitol's west side.
The Pentagon has also contested the timeline that Mr. Sund offered. Mr. Sund also says that he had requested National Guard troops be deployed at the Capitol before the riot, but that Mr. Irving had expressed concern about optics of using the troops. Mr. Irving, however, says he didn't remember the discussion as a request.
Well, for more, let's go to Simon Marks in Washington, D.C. And Simon, you know, Capitol security officials there blame poor intelligence, not to mention, you know, poking at each other in the back for that. And their accounts, too, were pretty conflicting. So at the end of the day, whose fault really was it?
Yeah, well, I think we don't really know the answer to that question, Adam. I mean, this was a day of testimony on Capitol Hill about the attack last month against Capitol Hill by conspiracy theory-believing supporters of former President Donald Trump. You heard there the Capitol Hill police chief push back against the claims by some Republican senators who at the time were backing former President Donald Trump that the insurrection was not an armed insurrection. He absolutely insisted that it was. But in terms of the timeline over the decision-making process that led to security being rushed to Capitol Hill to deal with the ransacking mob that had brought deadly violence to the U.S. Capitol, there is clearly a dispute, with the Capitol Hill police chief pointing fingers at federal officials, also at the Pentagon itself, the FBI saying no, they had provided information suggesting that a violent assault was possible. All of this simply feeding into the demands that many lawmakers have expressed over the last couple of weeks for there to be an independent commission modelled on the commission that investigated the attacks carried out by Al-Qaeda against America on September the 11th, 2001, to investigate exactly what happened on January the 6th and what steps can be taken to make sure that that kind of terrorism on domestic soil never happens again. I think at the end of the day, there are outstanding questions, certainly for the Capitol Hill police chief following his testimony today, but questions that ultimately may only be resolved once that 9/11 style commission is brought into existence and approved by President Joe Biden. The White House indicated a week ago that if the idea came across President Biden's desk, it's got to be initiated by Congress, then he absolutely would sign it into existence.
And Simon, you know, turning to the Biden administration, we understand the president is working to fill out his cabinet as the Senate grills his picks. Lawmakers confirmed Linda Thomas-Greenfield as a U.S. ambassador to UN. Of course, she's a veteran diplomat who has an extensive foreign service background and a part of a cabinet that's considered historically diverse in terms of race and gender. But Mr. Biden seems to be facing criticism over Asian American representation. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, he's got issues in a couple of different regards as far as Asian American representation in his cabinet is concerned. First of all, there isn't enough of it, according to Asian American community leaders who are angry and who were hoping for more from President Joe Biden, particularly given the role that pledges of diversity had played throughout his election campaign. Progressives, by the way, on the left wing of the Democratic Party, also feel that they have been ignored largely by President Biden in terms of his cabinet picks. But more specifically, President Biden is facing a problem with the one Asian American nominee currently undergoing the Senate confirmation proceedings. And that, of course, is Neera Tanden, the Indian American that President Biden has selected to head the Office of Management and Budget. Her confirmation process is running into all sorts of difficulty over abusive and aggressive tweets that she hastily deleted in the days leading up to her nomination being announced, many of them targeting sitting members of the United States Senate. And it may well be that in the next few days, the Biden administration has to fold its tent and withdraw her name from consideration. So Asian American community leaders in the United States say, not only are there too few nominees from that community for cabinet-level positions, but the one that's currently under fire was perhaps not the best pick for President Biden to be making in the first place.
All right, Simon, thank you very much for that update. That was Simon Marks in Washington, D.C.